Okay, Bob, so you're practicing, you're doing your work, your career, you're doing makeup, you love it. All of a sudden, something happens 25 years ago. Tell me a little bit about this call.
I have to stop and think for a second the original impact that had on me, George. I had a close friend who has since passed away, another makeup artist, who for a number of years had been working with the CIA, helping their field agents learn how to change their look in the field, where if somebody was following them, they could go into, say, a men's room and come out 2 minutes later looking like somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of a well-kept secret in the business that this is what his sideline was. But one Saturday morning, I got a phone call from him early, like around 9 o'clock, and he said, "What are you doing? You got some time this morning?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, John. What do you need?" He said, "Well, I got somebody I want to introduce you to. Can you come on over and have a cup of coffee?" I'm sure, okay. And I went over to his house for a cup of coffee and was introduced to a fella, a nondescript kind of a guy.
Yeah.
And the first thing the fella did after our introduction was said, "Have you been following what's going on in Iran?" And this was right after the
hostage takeover.
Exactly, yeah. Right, the after embassy, the embassy takeover. And I said, "Well, yeah, it's a little hard not to. I mean, it's on in every newspaper and on the radio and television." I said, "Yeah, I guess so." He said, "Well, I'd like to talk to you about that, but I need you to sign this piece of paper." And he slid a piece of paper across the table to me. I looked at the top of it, and it said, "U.S. Government Secrecy Agreement." I thought, "Well, okay.
Let me read this, right?"
What the heck am I getting myself into? John said, the other makeup artist said, "No, it's okay. Just go ahead and sign it." So I went ahead and signed the thing, gave it back to this guy. And he said to me, "Well, if you're keeping track of what's going on with the hostages, then you know that everybody at the embassy was taken hostage and is now basically being held for ransom." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, that's not true. Six people got out the back door when the students broke down the front door, basically, and they're hiding out in Iran."
Somewhere throughout the country. They're in, I guess, Tehran at that time then, right?
Well, yeah, as it turns out, they were in three different locations. The six of them were in three different locations, all connected to the Canadian embassy in the house of a staff member and et cetera. But by the time I got my chin up off the table, I thought, "Well, okay, thank you for sharing, and I've signed this agreement, so I promise I'm not going to tell anybody, but why?"
Yeah, and what does this have to do with me, right?
Yeah, why am I here drinking coffee and hearing this? Basically, I had developed somewhat of a reputation as an expediter. I'd done some large shows and been able to put some things together.
Now, what do you mean by expediter? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, I've been able to put some departments together and been able to put some projects together. And in that particular instance, expedite projects within the industry.
Okay.
So, John had sort of the first thing he thought of when and the fellow, by the way, turned out to be a gentleman named Tony Mendez, who has since retired from the CIA, which is why you and I are talking about this right now, because the whole project was declassified when he retired, and that sort of allowed us to finally say something, because my family, my kids didn't even know what was going on. I couldn't say anything to anybody when this whole thing happened. But in any event, to go back to the very beginning, Tony explained that they had come up with three or four different scenarios to get these people out. The Canadian ambassador was getting a little bit nervous because at that point, Tehran was a zoo, and anything that had to do with Americans was a problem.
Right, it was out of control.
Totally out of control.
Yeah.
And they were getting a little bit concerned that something was going to happen where these people would be exposed. And at that particular time, if they were exposed, then the Canadian embassy people would be in trouble. So there was a lot of pressure to be able to do something to get these six people out of Tehran.
And again, they were in the U.S. embassy when it got stormed, but they were able to kind of like filter out toward the back, and then they were gone?
Well, the embassy there was basically a group of buildings surrounding a large courtyard.
Okay.
And different buildings had different sections of the embassy. Where they were was an area that was where people came to get visas to come to the country, and there was an outside door to a back street, which is where the visa applicants would come in. So when everything happened and the gates were broken open and the courtyard was being flooded by students, it was relatively easy for them, in essence, to open a back door and get out. And nobody knew this at the time. In fact, when they did a head count of the embassy, the embassy people who at that time were hostages realized that there were some missing folks.
Okay, and they just didn't know what happened to them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.